Hey, everybody. Wendy Sellers here, the HR lady. Welcome back to the podcast. JC and I are here today with Tony Chapman, who is going to light up your culture. Hey, Tony, how you doing?
Hey, Wendy, I'm great. How are you?
I cannot complain. I am, you know, having a good year so far, but it is still only January. So maybe ask me that in March, right?
There you go. I'll follow up with you.
Yeah, follow up with me. My culture is as long as there's wine available somewhere at the end of the day, things are going to be good. So I have learned to not to schedule too many things in the evening. And that's one of my focus for 2024 is to try to take my life back a little bit and say, you know what, client, you can wait because it's the evening and no one should be bothered in the evening if that is your work hours. So with that said, Tony, I know you're coming in from vacation, right? Nope, not vacation. You just, you're living the dream right now.
I am living. So for those who are listening and wondering, why did she say that? Right before we got on, I told her I was in Playa del Carmen, Mexico. We didn't get to finish that. I live here. A year ago, we decided to relocate here and literally, you know, build our business while living our dream instead of waiting until retirement.
I love it. I absolutely love it. I don't live in Mexico, but I do live in Florida and I live in my RV because I said I want to move somewhere and live somewhere where I can enjoy my life, but still work. And yeah. I was chatting with somebody just recently and said, you know what? This whole remote workplace thing, and I know not everybody's going remote and we can't, you know, there's things that people need to build and they need to be in person. But I really think the remote workplace and the thing that we have, the fact that we have airplanes too, it really has just opened up our world to say, I can work from anywhere in some or many jobs. And if I need to get on a plane, which I do often, and speak at a conference or go to a client, I'll do that. But I'm going to live down here where the sun shines.
Yeah, I'm with you. And you know, the funny thing is, for years, the metrics have always been telling us that when people work remotely, they're actually more productive as well as happier. But it took a pandemic for us to actually test that one out.
Yeah, it really did, which is a shame. We're here and, you know, that's all we got to do. And I apologize, JC, that we're talking about sunshine and shorts and swimming because he's in upstate New York where they're buried in snow. I'm sorry, dude, but you have mountains and I don't have them. So that's all I got to say.
Yeah, and we won't talk football either. So we'll just, we'll just keep it going.
Yeah, I got a whole lot going against me this week. So I appreciate you.
With that said, Tony, tell people, you know, about you and how you ended up being, you know, the employee engagement expert in our industry.
Sure. So I have a really fascinating career path because I started off as a chemical engineer, which most people, maybe they never would think that, but I was actually really good at it. But very quickly, I figured out that although college prepared me very well for creating products and understanding processes, it was not strong on the people side. And once I started really working in industry, I realized that people side can either be your competitive advantage or your Achilles heel. And so because I was already, you know, very well trained in the other areas, I decided to understand relationships in the workplace with the same rigor that I tried to study chemical engineering. And so that was really the beginning. And so as I took on different positions, I would take every opportunity that didn't work out well and use it as a learning thing. And so after I went through being a chemical engineer, being a leader in nonprofit, working in finance, I kind of really understood people both from the scientific, you know, there's a science to it, but also because I lived it, I understood the art of it. And then I had a very unique thing because when I worked in faith-based nonprofit, we ended up counseling hundreds of marriages. And so during that time, I understood what made people tick in a way that when people are vulnerable with you and they tell you what's really going on, you start to see the patterns of what's really important. And most of that translated not only in their personal life, it went right into their career. And so when I put all of that together, I became a force to be reckoned with because I naturally connect with people. I understand people. I can relate to them. But when I talk to them, they know because they figure out I'm an engineer way before I say it, because they know that there are studies, metrics. I'm not just BSing them. I'm giving them something that's proven, and that's putting me in the space that I'm in.
That's awesome. That's so amazing. I have a lot of background in engineering, but on an HR aspect. And it's funny that you say, oh, they could figure out I'm an engineer, because yeah, I can usually figure out when there's an engineer in the room too. And while it's going to be a very detailed conversation, they're going to prove to me how I'm wrong. I really do enjoy having those conversations.
You know what it does though? What it's done for me is it allows me to walk into rooms that other people either aren't comfortable in, or that people aren't comfortable with them in. So I do very well. Like, I do great in manufacturing. I do great in sales. But, you know, you put me in a room full of PhDs in marine biology, or like one of my clients are primarily PhDs in nanotechnology and AI. And they literally look at me as one of them, because I can take all of this stuff that seems so complicated and make it really simple. But they know I understand why behind it.
I love it.
Interesting stat for everyone today. When individuals feel connected to their colleagues, they're more likely to feel motivated and engaged at work. A study by NBorder found that 94% of employees are more productive when they feel connected to their colleagues. Back to you.
Shocker, right? Gee, my colleagues understand that I need them to give me something and I can have a relationship with them and tell them that. Whoa, brainstorming here.
I got a follow on for you too. 69.5% of employees would be happier if they had deeper connections with work colleagues.
Yeah. I definitely see that for sure. Now, I want to remind people that deeper connection doesn't mean that they're your friend, right? So you may end up becoming a friend, and that doesn't mean they have to be your friend outside your work. What are your thoughts on that, Tony?
Your company is not your family. Your coworkers are not your friend, and your career is not your purpose.
Repeat
those are
that.
The three things I'd say. Now, they can be in certain situations. But often we think, oh, I'm with this company, they're my family. No, they're not. Oh, my coworkers, they're my friends. No, they're your coworkers. And if you leave your job a year later, most won't remember you or think about you. And we really put too much emphasis on our jobs being our purpose. So that's why I say your company is not your family. Your coworkers are not your friends. And your job is not your purpose. It would be great if those could become that, but realistically, most of the time, they're just not.
Yeah, it's super true. JC was sharing something with me through a chat. You know, our family work culture can be toxic and create unrealistic expectations. And so that's why it is important to be able to say, I have a life outside of work, even if you don't, or even if you don't want one. Say, listen, here are my boundaries here. So when you're dealing with your clients, you know, first of all, I see all over your website, light up your culture. Talk to me about that. And what does that mean? And then talk to me also about setting boundaries.
Sure. So over the pandemic, because I was doing a lot of work with diversity, equity, and inclusion, which I still do, because it's a subtopic of culture, I started just surveying employees. What do you want in the workplace, right? And overwhelmingly, the response came down to two things: value and respect. People want to be valued and respected as human beings. And as we dug in deeper and started having the narrative behind it, people wanted to be seen. They wanted to be acknowledged as people. And this comes down to, for me, this idea of engagement, right? People talk about engagement in the workplace all of the time, but most cannot define engagement. They can tell you some of the characteristics of engagement, but to actually define engagement is difficult. And so for me, engagement is very simple. Engagement is, how much does somebody care? And what will they do because they care? And so once you look at it from that lens, then you start to see, okay, now I see why it's so important for people to be seen. Because when they're seen, then they feel like someone cares about them and they reciprocate that care back to the organization and back to their coworkers and leaders. So that's really where this idea comes from. And so the idea is when people are seen, they begin to shine. And then once they shine, they light up your culture.
Now, in some cases, you see them and you're like, hey, you're not doing anything. So they might be shining their way out the door, right?
Well, yeah, you can't save everybody. And, you know, this is the other thing is, it's not, that doesn't mean it's warm and fuzzy, right? So being seen doesn't mean I come in and we're going to hug and sing kumbaya. Sometimes being seen means I'm going to address poor behavior and poor attitude. Because when we don't, then it becomes something that ends up distributing itself through the entire organization. And so sometimes being seen is, oh, wow, they care about me enough to address this. Just like some children, when they get away with too much, they start to wonder, do my parents actually care about me? And so it's both sides of it.
Yeah, that's so truthful. And, you know, the other thing, let's talk about that caring part for a minute, because I think, you know, going back to the topic of employees are not, you know, you're not, that's not your family. There's like the guilt factor that comes in if you're telling your employees their family. The caring creates a lot of confusion too, because, oh, you don't care because you left work on time. No. That means you're trying, you employer are trying to take advantage of them and get them, you know, twist the arm and the guilt factor, right?
Right. Absolutely. And, you know, unfortunately, a lot of work has become transactions. And so then they're just expecting, well, I paid you, so I want you to do more and more and more and more. And the reality is, look, if I care, I'll be engaged. And if I care, there are times where I will go the extra mile. Okay. But if you care, then you're not going to manipulate me and you're not going to take advantage of that. And I can see when you care, whether you say it or not.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. So you are an author. You have a couple books. You want to talk about one or two of them?
So I have a book called The Force Multiplier, How to Lead Teams Where Everyone Wins. And it's really the idea about how to be a great leader. Because what I've learned is so many people get into, number one, they get into leadership for the wrong reason. They're good contributors and they're promoted for being a good contributor. They need a different skill set to excel at being a leader. Then they don't get trained. So now they have to learn everything through osmosis, right? And so then a lot of their natural inclinations end up betraying them and sabotaging their efforts. So what I wanted to do was write a book that wasn't a bunch of theory about how to turn the ship and leaders have followers. It was like, okay, you became a leader. Do this, do this, do this. How do I deal with somebody who says that ain't in my job description? How do I deal with this? How do I actually delegate? Because everyone says delegate, but how do I do it effectively? I realize there is a void of that type of practical advice that if people had it, it would make them so much better in the workplace. And it would not only make them better, it would make the people that they lead happier.
I love it. So you're a speaker too, and a corporate relationship expert and an author. How can people find you after they're done listening to this podcast and saying, you know what? I need that book and I need some advice to light up right. My own culture.
Yeah. Well, in this day and age, if you can spell my name, you can find me, right? So it's C-H-A-T as in Tom, M-A-N, Tony Chapman. Once you've got that, you go to my website, tonychapman.com. It links you to all my social media. My book is on Amazon and Barnes and Nobles and Goodreads and every place you want to. There's links that way too. You know, you could really, I'm active on TikTok, active on Instagram. For both of those, it's Tony Chapman Speaks. I'm active on LinkedIn. If you find me on social media, connect with me. I got you.
I love it. Well, for our listeners, listen, if you're looking to light up your culture and you really do have to put in your mind what Tony said, that people want to be seen. When they are seen, they shine. When they shine, they light up your culture. So it does start with you. Thanks so much for joining us today, Tony. Thanks, everybody else. We hope this information has been helpful. Take care.